You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening. And with me this morning is Skalk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. What a lovely bounce back on Wall Street last night, Skalk.
It's quite a strange morning. I mean, we a little bit more than half an hour into trading hours, and both local and offshore. Well, when we say offshore, the U.S. markets had a bit of a up and down. And I actually just off air told you prior to us starting this podcast, I told you we're ready to start this conversation off with this is the morning after the night before.
Yes.
SA Inc. stocks, definitely taking a bit of a breather. And we'll be looking at the NASDAQ futures again, get a positive on that side. Now, suddenly, we're looking at NASDAQ futures that is down, close to 0.5%. S&P 500 futures down, 40 basis points. And SA Inc. stocks are, running again. You're looking at your ShopRite that had a, more than 10% day yesterday. Again, up 3% this morning.
Goodness.
Drew is again in positive territory. And when we look at the banks, we'll chat about First Rand in just a minute or two. Yeah, banks turn around. This morning they were looking a little bit softish, but APSA again 40 basis points stronger. First Rand reported results 40 basis points stronger. Standard Bank much stronger, 1.1% up, and Nedbank also 70 basis points stronger. So yeah, it's sort of more of the same, very similar to what we've seen yesterday.
We'll come to that in a second. Let me just get the spot prices now, because I want to ask you about what happened yesterday and the continuation of it today in slightly less glamorous fashion, of course. But yesterday's moves were very, very interesting indeed. But let's have a look at the spot prices. I've got 16.66, the dollar rand, the British pound against the rand, 21.67, and the euro rand, 19.70, with the euro dollar 1.18.20, which is a slightly weaker US dollar. Last night in the United States of America, the Dow Jones bounced back very nicely indeed. Dow Jones was up 1.6% last night. S&P was up 2%, and the Nasdaq was up 2.7%. This morning in the Far East, I've got the Tokyo market up 0.9%, Shanghai down 0.6%, Hang Seng down 0.4%, and the all-share in Sydney up 0.5%. The gold price I've got as 1946. It's had a good couple of days, very slightly weaker from yesterday. The platinum price is up $23 an ounce to $926 an ounce. And palladium is where, please, Skalk?
Palladium also a little bit stronger this morning, 90 basis points stronger, trading at $2,091. And just to add to your gold price reading now, I mean, when we look at the gold price this morning, they actually, earlier today, they hit a one-week high again, trading
yes.
as high as, 1951. So, yeah, I think a lot to do with the ECB's announcement a little bit today. There's a bit of a, let's call it a lukewarm feeling. It's a sort of a sweet and sour, because on one side of the ECB, feels that we're still sitting with a let's call it an environment where they will need some stimulus. But, increasingly we've seen a part of the decision making of the policy makers now coming out and say, well, they actually feel that their recovery might be sufficient, and a further stimulus might not be needed. So I think we'll know a little bit later this morning. They'll definitely guide us. As it currently stands, we don't expect any further rate cuts later today. But that definitely upped the gold price a little bit. That sort of caused uncertainty. Definitely pushed the gold price up to, as I mentioned, a one-week high.
Hasn't helped the crude oil price, because West Texas is down around about 0.6% to $37.83. And Brent crude oil is down as well, not as much. It's only down 0.3% to $40.67. Okay, and just the futures markets very quickly. NASDAQ futures down 0.6% at the moment, or 66 points, and the S&P futures down around about 0.5% to 33.83. So a little bit of the enthusiasm for last night dissipating, maybe because of the ECB decision, and also a couple of the things that happened last night with the release of the Bob Woodward book and Mr. Trump getting taken to the cleaners by most media outlets. So people don't like that. Well, certainly investors don't like that anyway. The real world really likes it. Okay, let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service now. Because this morning, the one that I'm going to be featuring in the show later, because I'm speaking to Stephen Sard, is Aspen's numbers. What do you make of them?
Well, you know, the share price didn't react very well this morning. We're looking at an Aspen share price that's currently down 5%. And I must say, I went through the numbers and I was sort of, I'm not invested. So it's a very sort of a very objective, you know, point of view. But I thought it looked a little bit better. You know, the operations are clearly very stable. I mean, it's, you know, let's call it an increase in operations. Definitely in this type of environment, I know it's a medical company. This is typically the environment, you know, let's call it the pandemic. This is an environment where these type of companies, you know, could do well. But it was a very stable result. I actually, the things that stood out for me, I said, I want to, you know, specifically focus on their debt levels, because that's something that were a little bit of a worry a year or two ago. And you know, again, net borrowings, that's again been reduced from the 38 billion in June 2019, now down to just over 35 billion. I thought it's good results. We're still looking at a company over the past 5 years that is now, you know, dropped a little bit more than 56% over, let's call it, the 5 year period. So they've been under extreme pressure, but last year, great recovery. We're looking at a company that's now from its lows, you know, up 57%. So maybe this, let's call it, 5.5% drop in the market is just sort of a breather. Remember, this is a company that's still in positive territory, 8% up year to date. So maybe just a bit of a breather, you know, in terms of results. Short answer: I don't think it looked too bad.
Okay, I'll speak to Stephen Sard 11:15 today, and that podcast will be out by 12 o'clock. Okay, here we go. Sanlam. I'm doing this in order of results, the chronological results. Anyway, Sanlam came out with their results, and the share price on my screen down around about 2.5%. Sanlam, tell me.
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly see them. I mean, again, results, you know, for the period ended at 30 June, I think there was well enough guidance. We can see the financial side, the financial services side of Sanlam definitely under pressure, but that is expectable. You know, you expect it. I mean, as we know, you know, that was sort of that 3 months after the biggest dip in the market. So I expect the financial services side, which decreased about 22%, over the year, I would say that should look a little bit better. Life insurance side, you know, the volumes were in line with 2019, so that I think was pretty good. I think what's worrying the investors is the fact that they said, well, although we've seen, you know, a nice, let's call it, a stable life insurance environment in terms of volumes, they do expect you know, growth in new business. Growth in new business volumes to reduce, you know, towards the end of the year. So I think that's maybe a little bit worrying. Again, not bad results. I think well enough guided, you know, earlier. So yeah, I think the share price also just sort of an after effect. You know, we're looking at a share price that's currently down very close to 2% for today.
What about First Round? First Round came out with their numbers as well. Another financial services giant. It says here the COVID-19 pandemic is a once-in-a-generation event and has had a profound impact on the world. In South Africa, it resulted in the deepest GDP contraction since the Second World War, and so it goes on. It says First Round's performance for the year to the 30th of June reflects the depth of the crisis. However, and this is a good however, the group believes that the actions it has taken to strengthen and protect its balance sheet, combined with the structure of its portfolio and its chosen strategies, will ensure return on equity and earnings recovery once the current stress scenario normalizes. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a lot of fluff, of course, but it's well put. What were the results like? Because we did get a trading update, of course, last week.
You know, that brings us back to our conversation last night where we talked about, you know, SA banks and how extremely well, you know, I want to emphasize, you know, this on how extremely well, you know, our South African banks are managing the risks on the books. We've seen this in that period, let's call it 2008 to 2010, you know, when most banks, you know, we've seen Lehman Brothers fell over, you know, we saw a lot of banks coming under immense pressure. And I think we were commended afterwards saying that, you know, from a banking structure, South Africa's banks are extremely well and well managed. And we've seen this again in FNB, you know, they It took all at all the stops. Yes, they again, in line with all banks, did not report a second half, you know, dividend. We know that's to strengthen the balance sheet. I think a very important point is the impairments. I mean, that's just crazy when you look at this. You know, when you look at the credit provision increase. I mean, last year, in 2019, they were looking at credit provisions of about, let's call it five billion, just over, well, just shy of 5.1 billion. That pushed that up to 15.2 billion. So, you know, when you look at these companies, total impairment charges went up from 10.5 billion last year, in 2019, to 24.4 billion, you know, total impairment charges. So, again, I want to reiterate. So the results, we're not going to go too deeply into the, let's call it the decline in the normalized headline earnings per shares, because that was expected.
Yes.
I like the fact that when we look at remember yesterday we were chatting about Standard Bank's net asset value. We chatted about Nedbank, Absa, you know, these banks that's currently trading below book values. And it was quite, you know, I was quite impressed with First Rand to see, again, they also increased their net asset value per share to 24.53. That's up from last year's 23.11. And that brings the price to book to around about, let's call it 1.6 to 1.7 times, which is a little bit high. Well, it's about double the levels that we'd be seeing on some of the other banks. But, you know, remember historically, yeah, First Rand has been trading at quite a premium in terms of price to book levels compared to the other banks. Extremely well managed bank, and still, you know, well below they let's call it 10-year average price to book level. So I would put First Rand definitely, you know, next to all the other banks, or more specifically, my first choice would still be, you know, Standard Bank at current levels. But First Rand, oh man, I must say it's looking very, very attractive at current levels. Market liked it. Market currently pushing the share price up another 1.1% after a great movement yesterday. So
yes,
yeah, I must admit, very impressed, and definitely one of these companies that I would be putting on my radar for, you know, buying these recovery environment.
Let's have a look back at yesterday's moves, because they were fairly spectacular. I mean, you know, double-digit moves on a few of the SA Inc. stocks, and others even 5, 6, 7% higher. That, to me, smacks of a big order from overseas, because you'll get a call from your overseas client and the person will say, okay, buy First Rand, buy Truworths, buy this. And because it's a small part of their portfolio, I mean, they're not completely cavalier about the way that they buy and what prices they get, but they're not going to worry too much about it like a local investor would. A local investor will finesse the deal, if you like. I think that it was just a huge big basket, and they were just told to buy whoever was lucky enough to get the order, and that's following on today. Am I wrong, or is that the case when you see the moves like you saw yesterday?
Lindsay, yes, we had a discussion this morning. I think, you know, we had a wonderful day yesterday, and I don't want to disregard any movements that we've seen yesterday, but we should just remember that the movement that we've seen yesterday was done on about, let's call it about 18 billion value, you know, traded. So it wasn't a massive day. So, but I think, you know, there's two things on yesterday's movements. The one thing was the movement itself, and secondly, the intent. You can clearly see the intent. You can see the intent, you know, that they are more than happy, you know, to push prices higher. Let's take First Rand, for example. First Rand yesterday, and we're talking about yesterday's movements. You know, First Rand yesterday, you know, they were actually pushed up, saw an increase of about 7.5% yesterday. That's after the previous days, over 5%. And again, we're looking at a share price that is up, you know, now close to 2%. So yes, I do think that this is a larger buyer. I mean, you can see in the Rand's movement, the Rand's, you know, strengthening, it definitely shows us that there is some foreign, you know, interest currently in these companies. And
right,
yeah, let's hope this is the start of something. Like I said, this is intent. You know, the fact that they're happy to push these type of shares, you know, up in 3 days' time, you know, over, let's call it close to 15%. It just shows us, I think, the value territory that we currently find, you know, at some of these companies, you know, in. So very happy. I'm not too worried about the movement itself, because it was done with a fairly low volume. But I think it's more, you know, I'm very happy to see where we're going.
Well, let's see if that was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, there's iceberg orders and the first part comes into the market and then it goes quiet and then the rest of it is below the surface. Let's hope there's some more orders coming in. Let's have a look at the moves on my screen. 15 minutes delayed, as I always remind you. Cartrack up nearly 5%, ShopRite up 3.3%, Transaction Capital up 2.7%, PSG up 1.8%. Your company doing well there this morning, Scott, so congratulations. Merry Christmas. Aspen down 5.5%. Anglo American Platinum down 3.75%. Old Mutual down 2.5%. Impala Platinum down 2.4%. And Sanlam down 2.1%. What are the indexes looking like this morning, Scott?
So just on your PSG comment, I think yes. Main reason for PSG's movement, you know, this morning is the shielding and Zeta. Zeta currently up, you know, 14%.
Gosh.
So yes, yeah, that is one of PSG's holdings. So that is the main reason why PSG is looking as strong as it does.
Because, well done.
Thanks to Zeta. But looking, you know, at the market currently this morning, we've been looking at a market that is flattish. No movement really. Currently still trading at 55,200 points. We're looking at a resource index that is a little bit softer, about 1.1% lower. The industrial index 0.5% stronger, and the financial index again the leading index, you know, or sector on the JSE, currently up 65 basis points.
Very good. And the value traded, I mean, it's too early to tell what's going to be the value traded by the end of the day, which is the all-important number. But what's the activity like? Is it also fairly subdued like yesterday?
Well, definitely some volatility. I mean, as I mentioned, we started off this day and you know, most of these companies were in the red. And we're increasingly looking at a market now, literally just as we speak, now going into the green, going into positive territory. So, you know, we've seen a market that's been negative earlier this morning. You know, and the banks now moving. Remember when I literally about 2 minutes ago, we were talking about, you know, some of these banks trading around about 50 basis points and 70 basis points at 1% up. Nedbank now up 2.5%. You know, Standard Bank up 2.3%. So clearly, as you mentioned earlier, that buyer just literally stepped into the market. Interesting to note, it's around about 10 o'clock.
The London influence.
Oh boy! So there you got it. So there's some of your answers. I think it does seem like this is a foreign buyer. So let's hope it continues.
Let's hope it continues. Skunklow, thank you very much for your contributions this week. Skunklow is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape, and he'll be back with us next Wednesday. That was the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.